FDIC.gov/MoneySmart. This is the Money Smart Podcast Network, where you learn how to wisely spend it, save it, and protect it. Be money smart. Here is your host, Nick L. Savvy.
Nick L. Savvy back with you here on another Money Smart Podcast. You know, I received such an overwhelming response to my last segment on describing identity theft that I decided to continue with the topic of protecting your identity by focusing on specific steps you can take to safeguard it. For this podcast, I invited a listener to join me in the studio to talk about his experience with identity theft. Shen, thank you for joining us.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
I also have our financial expert, Xander Hamilton, here with us. Welcome, Xander.
It's always a pleasure, Nick.
In our last segment, we spent some time describing identity theft, especially internet fraud. Hackers and scam artists are becoming more sophisticated in ways to steal private information transmitted over the internet or stored on computer systems. But listeners, you can protect yourself while shopping, banking, emailing, or surfing the web. For example, never provide bank account or other personal information in response to an unsolicited email or when visiting a website that does not explain how your personal information will be protected. Legitimate organizations would not ask you for this information because they already have it or can obtain it in other ways. Also, do not open any attachments unless you first check the validity of the request by contacting the legitimate organization the way you usually would, not by using the email address, website, or phone number provided in the email. If you do open and respond to a phony email, contact your financial institution immediately. In short, listeners, never provide personal information in response to an unwanted phone call, fax, letter, or email, no matter how friendly or official the circumstances may appear. Thieves can pose as bankers or government officials to get you to reveal your Social Security number and bank account number. Now, this would be okay if you have initiated the contact and you know whom you're dealing with. But even if you are dealing with a legitimate organization, it's just smart to find out how your personal information will be used and whether it'll be shared with others before you reveal it. Also, you can opt out to prevent unwanted solicitations. Download the opt-out description segment in Just Say No on the Money Smart site for more information on opting out. Xander, you have something to add here?
Yes. I would also add that listeners should protect their personal computers, or PCs. For example, there are free or low-cost firewalls that can easily be installed on a computer. These stop intruders from gaining remote access to a PC. Very often, there are downloads and security patches offered by operating systems and software vendors to correct weaknesses that a hacker might exploit. I would also encourage your listeners to use passwords that will be hard for hackers to guess. For example, use a mix of numbers, symbols, and letters instead of easily guessed words. Also, shut down your PC when you're not using it.
Okay, quick commercial break, folks, and then we'll be back with Shen to hear how his life was affected by identity theft.
Computer security is now more important than ever in this age of hackers and scam artists. To get more information about computer security and safeguarding personal information, visit the Federal Trade Commission's website at www.ftc.gov/infosecurity. For more about avoiding phishing scams, or to obtain a brochure with tips on avoiding identity theft, visit www.fdic.gov/moneysmart. Protect yourself.
Nick L. back here with you on the Money Smart Podcast Network. We're talking about identity theft and how to avoid it. Shen, please tell us about your experience. First, how did you know your identity was stolen?
Well, I first thought something was wrong when my credit card bill was late. I knew I had a balance, and it usually came like clockwork. There was no question the credit card company knew where I lived. So I called and asked where my bill was. They told me that I was overdue and that I had maxed out my limit. I couldn't believe it. I know I only had about a $300 balance on that card. They also told me that their records showed I had requested a change of billing address 2 weeks ago.
Oh, man.
Right, but it gets worse. The same day I was talking with the credit card company, I got a call from my bank telling me that I had overdrawn my account. I had just gotten my paycheck, too. All that money. I panicked. Credit was one thing, but not to have cash was an emergency.
Now, Shen, how do you think this happened?
Well, I remembered something strange when I mailed my monthly bills the month before. I put my bills in my mailbox and put up the red flag. A little while later, I remembered a letter I had forgotten to put in the mailbox. When I went outside, my mail was already gone. I recall thinking that the mailman must have come early. Now I know my mail was stolen right out of the box.
This is a big problem. Chances are that your mail carrier will deliver a credit card or bank statement, an envelope containing a check, or other items that can be very valuable to a thief. And a mailbox that holds your outgoing bills is a prime target for thieves who cruise neighborhoods looking for account numbers or other personal finance information. While it's a good idea to have your name, address, and phone number on your checks, it's not safe to print your Social Security number or driver's license on your checks. And as an aside, if your Social Security number is on your driver's license, ask to use another number.
Yeah, I had my Social Security number on my checks. That, along with my bank account number pre-printed right there, made it very easy to steal my money. Even worse is that I put up the flag on a mailbox advertising that my outgoing mail was sitting there.
But Shen did the right thing. He noticed that his bill was late, so he contacted the credit card agency immediately. In terms of his bank account, the bank contacted him, but I wouldn't rely on that. It's a good idea to keep a close watch on your bank account statements and credit card bills. Monitor these statements each month and contact your financial institution immediately if there's a discrepancy in your records or if you notice something suspicious, such as a missing payment or an unauthorized withdrawal. While federal and state laws may limit your losses if you're a victim of fraud or theft, you need to report the problem quickly to be fully protected. If you believe the email is fraudulent, you might also consider bringing it to the attention of the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC.
So what can people do to protect their mail, Xander? I know I always put my bills in my mailbox. I never think they'll be stolen.
I recommend using a locked mailbox or other secure location, such as a post office box, for incoming mail. If your mailbox is not locked or in a secure location, try to pick up your mail as soon as you can, or move the mailbox to a safer place. Also, when ordering new checks, ask about getting the boxes delivered to your bank branch instead of having them mailed to your home and running the risk of a thief finding them sitting outside your front door. Now, for outgoing mail, especially those with a check or personal information, I'd put it in a U.S. Postal Service blue collection box, or hand it to a mail carrier, or take it directly to the post office instead of leaving it in your doorway or home mailbox.
Well, since this happened, I always put my mail in the post office collection boxes, and I pick up my mail as soon as I can. Oh, and I also changed to direct deposit. This way my paycheck goes right into my account. No risk of stolen checks or forgeries there.
You know, I had a neighbor who had her identity stolen. The thief went through her garbage.
Yes, they're called dumpster divers. They pick through garbage looking for pieces of paper containing Social Security numbers, bank account information, and other details they can use to commit fraud. Same types of examples apply here. They were looking for insurance information containing your Social Security number, blank checks mailed by financial institutions with offers to write yourself a loan, canceled checks, and bank statements.
And your best protection against dumpster divers?
Before tossing out these items, destroy them, preferably using a cross-cut shredder that turns paper into confetti that cannot be easily reconstructed.
Another break, folks. Be right back with Shen and Xander.
Has someone stolen your identity? Do you feel angry and powerless? Act now. If you've been the victim of identity theft, call the Federal Trade Commission's Identity Theft Hotline at 877-ID-THEFT. That's 877-438-4338. Or visit their website at www.ftc.gov/IDtheft. Take back control.
Nick L. Savvy here in the studio with MSPN listener Shen and Xander Hamilton, MSPN financial expert. So what I'm hearing is, pay attention. What about a more common theft like getting a purse stolen? What can someone do to prevent this from being a major ordeal?
Well, first let me say that you should carry only the identification, checks, credit cards, or debit cards you really need. The rest, including your Social Security card, are best kept in a safe place. To add to this, be extra careful if you have housemates or if you let others into your house. They may find personal information and use it without your knowledge.
And I'd like to emphasize the importance of protecting Social Security numbers, SSNs, credit card and debit card numbers, PINs, personal identification numbers, passwords, and other personal information.
Right. When you're making up a personal identification number, or PIN, for your ATM card or debit card, don't use something a thief could guess, like a birthday, Social Security number, or phone number.
Finally, folks, before we end this segment, it's important to talk about credit reports.
You know, I didn't even think about the impact ID theft would have on my credit report. I'm still trying to repair my financial reputation.
Exactly. Xander, can you talk a little bit about credit reports?
Your credit report, which is prepared by a credit bureau, summarizes your history of paying debts and other bills. Credit reports are used by lenders, employers, and others who have a legal and legitimate need for the information. The law allows you to get one free credit report each year from each of the three major credit bureaus that operate nationwide: Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, with just a single phone call, letter, or electronic request. This is a change from previous law, because you can get a copy even if you don't suspect ID theft or any other problem with your credit report. After you get your credit report, look for warning signs of actual or potential ID theft. These include mention of a credit card, loan, or lease you never signed up for, and requests for a copy of your credit record from someone you don't recognize, which could be a sign that a con artist is snooping around for personal information.
Is there contact information we can give our listeners?
To get more information about free credit reports, listeners can go to www.annualcreditreport.com or call 877-322-8228. Also, if anyone out there thinks they're a victim of identity theft, I urge you to visit the Federal Trade Commission at www.ftc.gov/IDtheft or call 1-877-ID-THEFT for more details.
I'd like to thank Xander Hamilton, MSPN financial expert, for offering his expertise again. And, of course, thank you to Shen for being here with us and sharing his experiences. If you want to know more about credit reports, download the topic Your Credit Report Card on the MoneySmart page of fdic.gov/moneysmart. We'll also be talking about fraud and credit reports next time on the MoneySmart Podcast Network. We have one more segment on protecting your identity, recovery. I'll cover how to repair your credit after your identity has been stolen.
This has been another edition of the Money Smart Podcast Network with your host, Nick L. Savvy. For the complete transcript of this segment and additional content on banking, visit us at fdic.gov/moneysmart. Money Smart is a production of FDIC. FDIC, maintaining the stability of America's banking system. Be Money Smart.